Welcome to Gardening Talk back on 2NUR FM. And Judy Sharp joined by myself, Greg Richard. How are you doing, Judy?
Thank you, Greg.
Well, there you go.
Hello. You didn't have me turned on, did you?
No, I didn't.
Oh, that's all right. I'll forgive for once.
Not the greatest start to the afternoon, but...
That's all right. Well, we've got a better start, another good start. We've had a lovely lady from South Australia.
Right.
And we should say hello to Amanda if she's listening today.
Yep.
I'm sure she will be. She was inquiring about her bulb planting. And you know, I did explain to her that, by email, of course, that, you know, their climate is very different down there in South Australia to what we have here.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think the advice I gave her might have helped us. So no doubt she'll be listening in. And thank you very much for contacting us from South Australia.
There you go. Someone from South Australia listening. We've got some listeners all over the country.
Yeah, fabulous.
What else you got lined up for us today, Judy?
Oh, okay. You ready? Long list?
Yep.
Have you got your long list?
Mine's short, I think.
Is it?
I hope we've got the same list.
Okay, well, we're going to do pruning and fertilising. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about morayas, natives, and for the kind of feeding we should be doing at this time of year, and then summer veggies.
All right, we've got the same list. I've ticked everyone exactly the same. We're both on the same page. Frank from Charlestown, he's got a question about cuttings.
Hello, Frank. What can we help you with?
Is it okay at this time of the year to take cuttings for hydrange, and can you take cuttings of azaleas?
Look, hydrange, Frank, I'm sure that's okay. They'll be showing you double eyes now, I would imagine, are they?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. And you know to always prune to the double eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And the azaleas, I thought yours might be still in flower.
Yeah, they are.
Okay. I'd wait until they finish flowering, so that then you're getting new shoots coming up.
Okie doke.
I think azaleas might be a little bit more difficult than hydrangeas, but good luck with that, Frank.
Okay. Thank you. Good
thank
duty.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Bye now.
Short and sweet. We've got Lynette from Cessnock, and she's got, well, looking for some help with fruit fly.
Oh, hello, Lynette. This is early.
No, I'm getting ready in case it happens again. You gave me some advice before. It was to paint a post or a pole with melazine and something else. Now, I can't remember the something else.
Oh, ready? Vegemite.
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 Right.
What happens? The fly gets attracted to go and eat the Vegemite.
And what
does the melathon do to them?
Kill them, I hope.
Kill them, yes, yes, definitely, Lynette. So it's very simple. All you do is, a lot of people ring me and say, give me quantities, but that isn't necessary. All you need to do is mix it to what I call a paintable paste.
Right.
Because you need to be able to brush that Vegemite or Marmite on.
Right, okay.
But you do mix it up with your melathon first because that's what's going to kill them.
Thank you very much, and I won't leave it around for people who eat it on toast.
Oh, no, I don't think so, Lynette. No, we'll dice that one.
Okay.
Thank you very much for commenting on that. I appreciate that one. Thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot. Bye.
Bye.
It's good to see Lynette's getting in early with it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, people have tomatoes planted.
Yep.
Mm.
So you've got to start.
Oh, well, you know, once they reach the height of the stake, if you're growing tall ones, your stake could be covered by the time you paint it with a melathon white oil. So, it's not a bad idea. She's getting in early, but, you know.
You can have a separate stake there, can't you?
Oh, you could, yes, but it's the very fact that they fly to get the tomatoes. So.
Yeah.
Naturally, it needs to be on the stake.
Right, okay. And we've got Molly from Ellalong, and she's got a question about blueberries.
Oh, hi, Molly. What would you like to know, dear? We still got a Greg.
Yep, there we go.
Hello?
Yes.
Yep. Last year, I just gave the them some sulphate of potash.
Right.
And I was wondering what fertiliser to give it, because they weren't very big blueberries. It's masses of flowers on it, but they're just not very big.
You know what you could do, Molly? You could take some of the flowers off if you wish to, But really, when you think about it, blueberries, the bigger they get, they're not as sweet as the little ones. Have you found that?
Yeah, they were sweet. The grandchildren loved them.
So. Look, certainly sulphate of potash works very, very well, but I don't mind. I mean, I really love Flourish for fruiting.
Flourish, okay.
And you apply that in water once a week.
Oh, righto, yeah.
Which is a more regular application than the sulphate of potash.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so you use the sulphate once. Now, you could do it now and then swing over to your Flourish.
Flourish, okay.
Yeah, but
and
if
you... And do I need to put any manure around it, like cow manure or something else?
Is it in the ground, Molly?
Yeah, it's yes.
It is in the ground. Look, I'd be very careful. Maybe something fairly neutral. You could use Bounce Back. That's a pelleted form and it's a very, very good fertiliser. It has a fairly neutral base, so it won't muck up with the other two things you're going to apply.
Okay, my husband's saying they're the best blueberries in Australia. I don't.
Well, that's why I was wondering, you know, I mean, you don't want to sacrifice size for sweetness, do you?
No. I called a few weeks ago about my orange tree, and I've done it with the oil, white oil, and I bought the Malathon, I think you said, to mix it with.
Oh, right, okay. Did you have scale?
It had the little white all over the thing, all over the bark.
Right, it was scale, yeah. No, well, you've done the right thing, but have you reapplied it or it's not necessary?
Yeah, it said to do it, not to do it for 2 weeks. So,
yes.
And what I did was they suggested I either gave it a light hose, like to try and get off what's, you know, on there.
Yeah.
And it's looking so much better now. A lot of it's come off.
Oh, that's excellent.
And it's got masses of flowers on it too. So.
Oh, right, okay. Mm. Well, now it's flowering, just be a little careful of the white oil, that's all. But it sounds like you've got it cleaned up anyway, so, you know, stay with it like that.
Okay. Thank you very much, Judy.
Thank you, Molly, and I'll be interested to see if you get bigger blueberries and if they're sweet.
I hope so.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you. Bye.
Cheers, Molly. We've got Graham now from Lawn, and he's got a question about clivias.
Hello, Graham.
Hello, Jude. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
I've got a question about my clivia. I call it clivias, not clivias.
That's all right. And I know what you're going to ask me because mine are in flower, which yours are.
Oh, they're magnificent at the moment.
But on the stems, you'll have these little orange things on the growth from last year, haven't you?
Like little Bingham legs,
that size? Yeah, I do know.
Yep.
Actually, I'm being very generous. I've given a few to my friends in the last couple of weeks because you can grow them from that, Graham.
Oh, wonderful. Now, I got a friend of mine, I give the lemon ones, the yellow ones.
Yep.
And she wants some yellow ones, and I said, well, I'll find out about them, and if I can snip a couple off and she can have them and she can see where she get them to grow.
Yeah, but, you know, just tell her to wait till the seed pods open a little before she buries them in some potting mix or something. But, you know, Graham, I'm thinking about this. Now, if you're giving a lady yellow clivias every year, Oh, I'm reading something into that, Graham. Well, look, no. Maybe don't give her any to grow herself. Just keep giving her the flowers. Graham, look, I'm sure you've got it under control, whichever way we're going. But, yes, you can grow them from that. And as you would have found out when you bought them originally, they're very pricey little creatures.
They've been in the garden for years and years and years and years.
Oh, well.
And they're a mess. At the moment, and as I said, I've got some orange, real deep orange ones, light orange ones, and the lemon ones. And, they're a mess of flowers, and they're beautiful.
They are. It's a pity they don't last longer, isn't it? I love them.
Exactly.
Yeah. But they don't like the summer. Once the heat comes out, you have to have them in the shade, as you've know.
Yes, they're in the shade area. They don't get full sun and all that sort of thing, you know. But, oh, they're beautiful. But so if I just snip them little buds off, them beads off.
Yeah.
And wait, when do I cut them off? When they start to open or after that?
Well, look, I gave a friend of mine some of both recently, only last week, because I did have some that had started to open.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, she's not a friend, she's a relative, so I don't know what category we put her in then.
Favouritism, yes.
But anyway, look, her name's Robin, and she's very, very nice. And she's actually my niece, but she's my age.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're only a young girl then.
Yeah, of course. A little bit of trivia there for the listeners, Graeme. But okay, look, what I did when I cut robins, I left a little bit of the stem on them.
Oh, okay.
Just so it's easier to handle them.
Yes, I understand that, yep.
Excellent. So you're all up and running now, and you're not giving us any secrets away, are you?
No, I'm not.
Well, give us a ring and let us know when your friend has flowers.
Righto then.
Okay.
I will.
Thank you, Graeme.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call. Yeah, bye.
It's Gardening Talk back on 2NUR FM. And Anthony from Woodville had a little question for you, Judy. He's got little green mites, like fleas, on the back of the leaves of his apple tree. What's reckon's going on there?
I reckon that's an apple tree mite.
Okay. Well, problem solved.
No, just joking, Greg. Just joking. Look, pity we weren't talking to Anthony, because it's always a little bit easier when you get them to describe it. Little green mites, like fleas. That's an unusual description, isn't it? You know, I suppose the apple tree's just getting new leaves on it. So the simplest way to go is maybe just spray those little flea-like things with some pyrethrum, because we haven't got a clue exactly what they are, and I'm going on the safe side here. So, Anthony, I'd spray them with pyrethrum and just do that again probably in another week or 10 days.
Right, yeah.
And then give us a ring off air and let us know how it goes.
That's always the pyrethrum's a safe bet always, pretty much, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It's wonderful. I mean, I just always have it in the garage handy. And I've told you, too, to get the instant spray pack.
Yep.
And, you know, you've always got something there on hand, and I think it really is good to use, and it's pretty safe, too.
Yep. And if that's not working, you can get something else, I guess. Yeah. Or get something a bit stronger.
Then we go to the nasties.
Yeah. It's Gardening Talk back on 2NUR FM, 4921-6216. If you've got a question for Judy Sharp. And, Judy, what a look at summer veggies today as well.
Oh, yes. We were going to last week, but the lady today just reminded me when she was talking about her blueberries, et cetera. It's summer veggie time, so it's time to plant out your tomatoes, your capsicums, basil.
Yep.
And then you come in to tell us about chilies.
Okay. Do we plant them now, do we?
Well, I thought we did.
Well, I've planted some. Oh, but they're not very big, though. They're very small.
Yeah, well, the weather is so wonky, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not great at the moment.
No, it's not settled.
We're getting back to cold nights again.
We sure are.
Got to pull another blanket over last night. It was freezing.
Well, I'd actually stripped my bed, which was very silly, yesterday, and put clean sheets, etc. on there. This is not gardening, but, you know. I was certainly cold last night, and I let the cat curl up on my feet.
Well, if we're cold, the plants have got to be cold as well, don't they?
Yes, of course, and that's what's probably holding your chilies back. So it's time now to plant tomatoes, capsicum, basil, and perhaps chilies, do you think, when it gets a bit warmer?
Okay, yep.
Okay. And lettuce, plant them now.
Yep.
And apply Flourish as you plant, Flourish for vegetables each week and until they're established.
All right. Well, quick question with basil, because I find it annoying because it always seems to shoot the seed a lot.
Yeah, well, it does, because it's only a summer plant.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've got to keep on top of it a bit as well.
Yeah. You can't grow basil. Everyone likes to grow it through the winter, but you can't really. No, it's a summer plant.
Right.
And it's an annual.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a perennial like a lot of other things are, like your chilies are. But, you know, you could save the seed from the basil if you were keen.
Yep.
But it grows quickly and easily.
Right, too easy, all right.
Yeah, easy, done. Simple.
Another easy one for myself to do. next. And we've got Kath from Gorrickon, and she's got a question about moving her azaleas.
Oh, hi, Kath. I'm really glad you rang about this one.
Yes.
Have you...
I have azaleas. They're about 2 years old.
Right.
And they're just about finished flowering now.
Right.
And I want to know if I can put them into large pots.
Look, you can, Kath. You know
yes.
they're very shallow rooted, so you have to be very careful when you dig around them.
Right.
Now, okay. I'd wait till they... You say they're nearly finished flowering. I'd wait till they've done that and they're perhaps putting up some new shoots of growth.
Right.
Okay. I'd just give it a little bit longer because what if you'd moved them yesterday?
Yeah, no, I haven't moved them yet. It's just that I'm getting rid of my front garden and we're just going to put them in pots so I don't have to be out there trying to dig up leaves because I'm fairly old and at that my stage I can't get out there digging up weeds and things.
No, look, so that's some. That's fine.
I thought they'd use them in pots. Yes.
Yeah, they do very, very well in pots. And but, you know, let's wait till the weather settles just a little bit and and do it then, but dig very well around them so you're not damaging the root system.
Okay. Yes, so we're going to put pebbles around along the ground and just put these lovely big white concrete pots along.
Oh, okay. So that's where you're going to put the azaleas?
Yes, out the front. They flower beautifully out there.
Oh, right. Okay. That sounds like a great idea. Of course, you'll be watering more often in pots, don't forget.
Yes, that's right. Yes, okay.
Okay.
All right, that's good.
Thanks,
okay,
Kath.
Thanks,
good luck
Judy.
With that. Bye.
Have a nice afternoon.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Bye.
We got Lynn now from Chisholm, and she's also got a question about clivias.
Oh, Lynn, have you got the yellow ones or the orange?
I have both, and I've just picked a lot of the seed pods off mine because my daughter wanted some and she lives in Queensland, so I thought, right, I'll do this. So I went online and now I'm not sure. You said I came in sort of on the tail end of your conversation. Do you let the seed pods dry out before you pot them?
Well, you find, as I did yesterday, some are starting to break open and, you know, the covering is breaking open and some aren't. Look, I think it's wise to just let the cover of the seed pod just break open slightly and then plant them.
Okay. Now, my daughter, being in Queensland, has a very sunny garden and it fed on the piece that I was reading, that they don't like the full sun.
No, that is correct.
Ah, right.
Yeah, no, she needs shade. Could she put them in a pot somewhere in the shade?
Oh, well, they have rather a large area that she wants to fill, so unless she's going to put some trees and plant them under the trees, maybe not a good idea.
Well, not till the trees were giving her shade. But what about if she used hippiastrums? Now, mine are just about to flower and they're in the full sun.
Yes. She's got a few of those and I've got some, so I'll pot up some of those.
That's a good idea. Okay. Thank you, Lynn, for the call. And let us know how she goes with the seeds.
Yes, I will.
Thank you very much. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
And we've got Margaret from Maitland, and she's got a question about using coffee grounds on the garden.
Oh, that's an interesting one, Margaret.
Hi, Judy. I love your show.
Oh, thank you.
I've got a relative that's got a coffee shop, and the other day she's given me a great big bag of used coffee grounds, and she said they're good for the garden. I want to know, is that true?
That is true, because I have a friend that wanted to organise... look, I'm not a real coffee drinker, but some of them are in little capsules, aren't they?
Oh, these aren't in capsules. These are the ones out of the coffee machine, you know.
Yeah, no, but when they go in, they're in a little... And they're a bit of a problem when they just get thrown out, evidently. So she said that they're wonderful for the garden and she wanted me to start collecting them. So, yes, I'm sure you can use your coffee grounds.
What about the roses?
Around the roses... Look, what you would need to do is maybe do an alkalinity test. I'm not sure about coffee grounds, whether they'd be acidic or alkaline, keeping in mind that roses like alkaline soil.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd just maybe take it easy. Don't give them too much to start with. Mm-hmm. And you'll soon see the results if they if your roses mm-hmm. start to get a bit small. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, look, I think it's a very worthwhile thing to do mm-hmm. because they're only going to landfill, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly, in the garbage.
Yeah, in the garbage, yeah. And that's why my friend had a project going and she thought she was onto a good thing, but for some unknown reason it didn't work. I don't know why, nothing to do with me not accepting them. But I think coffee shops...
Well, I was really excited about getting them and I thought, gee, I don't want to put it on the garden if I wreck the garden.
No. Well, look, just be careful with your roses and and I'd be digging it into the soil.
Yep, okay.
So, you know, you're spreading them around a little bit, not just putting them there wholesale. Yep. Yeah.
Okay, Judy, thank you very much.
Margaret, please, this is one I'd love you to give us a call back and let us know what happens.
Okay, I will.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Judy. Bye.
Thanks, Margaret. Bye.
That's an interesting one, isn't it? Because I've always thought we're using coffee grounds, but you go, I don't know if that's going to work or not. Or
yeah. Well, people put tea on their garden, tea leaves.
Yep.
So why not coffee?
Well, I guess it keeps the plants up, maybe.
Yeah. You and I'll have to do a bit more research on that one.
I think so, yeah. Well, hopefully we get find out and see what happens with it. We've got Ray now from Valentine, and he's replanted roses and a mango tree. He wants to know how he can manage it.
Hello, Ray. Mango.
Hello, Judy. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you too. Sorry, I wasn't jumping ahead of you then, but I just thought roses and a mango tree. So you've planted them now, replanted them both at the same time.
Yeah, what I've just purchased a home and the garden was just in disarray. It had long grass through it. It had a lot of gardenias and it also had a New Zealand flax that was out of control.
Oh, yeah.
So what I did, I removed the New Zealand flax because it was just killing everything, taking over the whole garden. And I cleaned up the garden and I found two roses that were well established. And I, being an amateur gardener, I didn't know whether they were dead. So I just tried to salvage them by relocating them. And I fed them with organic fertilizer and a bit of cow manure. And they just, they don't seem to be picking up. So I don't want to, you know, play or put up with them much longer. I thought I might just dig them up and replant new roses.
Well, Ray, the only thing you would have, should have done was to give them a light prune. Was that possible?
It probably could have been. In regards to pruning, would you think taking the branches off? Because there was no leaves, there was no roses on them. They were quite dead.
So you can't see any shoots coming?
No, I've got to be quite truthful. I just tried to thought, you know, the poor old bloody roses, I'd give them a bit of a replant and see how we went with them because I didn't want them, you know, they lasted this long. I thought, well,
Look, I think they should be showing a little bit of trace of shoots coming.
Oh, okay. That means they've probably died. Yes,
well, you know, unless you just cut them back a little bit and see, you know, if they're still green.
Okay. No, they're not green. They're grey. They're actually grey. you know, they're showing that they're probably died on me, but I was just being very optimistic and thought I might be able to save the poor things.
Well, Ray, that sounds like what we're going to do when our time comes, doesn't it, Ray?
Well, I hope someone looks after me like that. And my second question was, I also come across a mango tree. And once again, knowing nothing about replanting or whatever, I don't think I took enough roots on the mango tree. I dug out as much as I could, but I left a lot of long roots. And I looked up on Google and said, you know, you'd see if you can take most of the roots with you. I couldn't, and now the poor old mango's died, and it was quite healthy.
Oh, that's a shame.
I relocated it, yes.
Yeah, whenever you do a transplant, of course, sometimes it doesn't hurt to give them a little bit of liquid fertiliser.
Right.
To stimulate a bit of growth. So you could still try that on both the roses and the mango, but otherwise, I think you'll be ringing us next week to say they're gone to God.
Yeah, well, my wife's calling me Dr. Death, so you're probably right.
I like that.
Okay, well, thank you so much for your time, Judy.
That's okay. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye
now. Bye.
Got time for one more call, and it's Helen from Fletcher. She's got a question about daffodils.
Hello, Helen. What's the matter? Oh, sorry.
Yes, Judy. Nice to hear you. I've got daffodils that normally bloom every year and madonkles, and I haven't got a one.
You mean they haven't come up or they haven't flowered?
No, No, they haven't flowered.
Oh,
I've
okay.
Got all the green, I've got all the green sort of foliage, you know, the pointy bits,
yep.
But no flowers. And I thought, I haven't really seen many around the streets either.
Oh, look, I think they have flowered, but the season was very up and down. But what you need to do now is give them some fertiliser before they die down.
Right,
and,
okay.
Yeah, a little bit of fertiliser of any kind now, particularly a liquid one. But when your daffodils are starting to die down, you don't cut the stems. You know that, don't you?
But because they didn't flower at all, I thought, and I've cut some of them down, but I won't do the others then.
No. They don't. When they die down, that's when they're making the protein in their bulbs for next year.
Oh, right.
Yep.
Okay. So
that
you
could
have
be
to
a
let
problem.
Them completely die. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Judy.
Cross
okay.
our fingers. Thanks for the call, yes. Helen.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Ron. Judy, we're just about out of time for another week, but you quickly wanted to talk about roses.
Oh, yes, only because we did have someone mention that, was on the news, we've had frost up in the Hunter Valley.
Yep.
Yeah. And, of course, if anyone up there's pruned their roses, they would be advised to go and hose that frost off, even though, you know, it might be a bit late, and just try to keep the water up to them.
Okay, thanks. We might talk a bit more about that next week then.
Yes, we should, Greg. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.